Amen. What a joy, what an honor, what a privilege it is to be in the house of God with all of you worshiping God. Come on, can I get everybody to stand to their feet for 1 minute? Come on, can I get you to stand to your feet if you're able to? If you're able to, stand to your feet now. As you stand, can you put those hands together? Can you lift the sound up to heaven one more time before we move forward? Come on, let's bless the Lord in this place together. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on! Come on! I know you can do better than that. I know you can do better than that. Come on! Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Hallelujah! 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 Yes, Lord! Yes, Lord! Yes, Lord! Yes, Lord! We bless you, mighty God. Amen. Amen. That sounded good. I love that. I love when we get in one accord and we bless the Lord with everything in our being. Amen. It is such a joy and an honor and a privilege to be in the house of God with all of you worshiping the Lord with you. I'm excited to be able to bring a word to you today on this Pentecost Sunday. I really don't know everything that God has planned for us today. Typically, I get glimpses of it. One thing that I do know that I feel like I want to accomplish is at the end of this service, there will be a time given for those of you that desire prayer, desire to be filled with the Spirit of God. Some of you for the first time, some of you may need a refilling of the Spirit of God. There will be an invitation at the end of this message to give you the opportunity to be able to be prayed for and to receive that baptism. You know, we've been preaching in a sermon series simply entitled Unstoppable Power, and we've been looking at some of the notable miracles of Jesus, and we've talked about and shared with you through Scripture how Jesus moved and how he performed some pretty incredible miracles. We watched him turn water into wine at a wedding, his very first miracle. We watched him on a boat with his disciples calm a storm that was wrecking them in the moment. And last week, we talked a little bit about how he went to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. And those are exciting, and there's many, many, many more miracles that Jesus did in the Gospels where he multiplied bread, he walked on water, he opened blinded eyes. He restored hearing to people that were deaf. He healed crippled people. He healed withered hands. He did numerous. In fact, the Bible says so many things were done, they couldn't even be contained in all the books or manuscripts in the world, all the things that Jesus accomplished and performed in the 3.5 years that he walked this planet. He did miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. We read about him. We are inspired by them. We get excited about them. It builds us up. It encourages us. It stirs our faith, knowing that we have the ability to reach out to our high priest who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, and he can heal us. And I love talking and preaching about the miracles of Jesus. Right before Jesus was crucified, before he was put into a tomb, and before he was resurrected, and certainly before his ascension, he says this to his disciples. He says this in John chapter 14. They were troubled by the fact that he was going to be crucified. They didn't want to hear that mess. They didn't want to hear about him being crucified. And so he began John chapter 14 by calming their fears about what was about to transpire and happen. And as he continued to talk to them about that and to calm their fears down, he says this one statement in John chapter 14, verse number 12. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." About six of you knew to applaud there and got excited about that. because you had your coffee this morning. I'm going to rewind that, go back to that verse, reread it again to give those of us in the room an opportunity to hear that and maybe respond accordingly. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you that he who believes in me, greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father in heaven. Crucified, buried in a tomb, resurrected, ascended into the heavenlies. After his ascension, the disciples, with other people, were gathered together in Jerusalem, in an upper room, seeking the Lord. It's 120 of them in an upper room seeking the Lord. The fulfillment of John chapter 14, verse 12, was getting ready to hit that upper room where those 120 men and women were gathered seeking the Lord. And this is what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house that they were sitting in. Hey! Then there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Can you say amen? And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, a multitude came together, and they were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and all the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others were mocking and said, they're full of wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Hey! Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants and on my men servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, watch this, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is Pentecost. That is the birth of the church. the church that you and I are a part of today here in 2025. This is that. We are a part of that now. This is that. This is that fulfillment of greater works will you do, because I go to my Father in heaven. Jesus walked the earth as God incarnate, all God, all man, with unstoppable power. When he ascended into heaven, he refused to leave his bride, his church, weak, emaciated, flailing, floundering, wandering. No, he sent his Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit. That same unstoppable power that we read about, that we've preached about these last several weeks, that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is now dwelling. Oh, I wish I had some people in this church that was filled with the Spirit of God who would get excited about the infilling, indwelling.
Amen. See, the promise was not poetic. It wasn't symbolic. It was prophetic. And on the day of Pentecost, that promise began to be fulfilled. And here's what I've come by to let you know today. The outpouring began in Acts chapter 2. And I've not been able to find a scripture in the Bible that says that it has ceased and that it has stopped. His Spirit is still being poured out. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we still expecting it? So that's what I'm going to talk to you today about here this morning. Thank you so much. Angela, you can hang out or you can leave, but don't be gone too far, brother, because I have a feeling I'm going to fly through this. Because here's the deal. There are Sundays when I get up in this pulpit to preach, and it feels like you guys are just trying to pull it out of me faster than I can get it out. And I feel like this might be one of those Sundays where you're trying to pull this thing out of me faster than I can get it out. And so I don't know how this is going to go, but I do know who's in control of this day. I do know who is empowered on this platform. It's not me, but it's the Spirit of God that is alive, well, and moving in this place. Jesus said, because I go to my Father. What does that mean? It means when he ascended, he did not leave us powerless, but he sent a helper. The Bible teaches us that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us, but the Holy Spirit is God in us. Woo! The same power that walked on water, the same power that raised Lazarus from the dead, the same power that opened blinded eyes and deaf ears, the same power that healed a withered hand, the same power that healed a cripple who was on his mat, the same power that was at the pool of Bethesda with a man of 38 years of an infirmity was completely healed. That same power now lives on the inside of me and on the inside of you. That same power that was his divine plan, not just having Jesus beside you, but having his Spirit within you. I wish I had somebody get excited in here. He said, greater works than these. Not that you are greater, not that you can do greater, but greater reach, greater authority, greater capacity. Not because we are greater. Why? Because his Spirit now is in every believer, not just in Jesus, but in all of us. We all have the propensity, the ability. We all carry that same Spirit if you've been baptized in the Spirit of God with fire and with power.
And if you haven't, at the end of this service today, you will absolutely have the opportunity to be baptized. Remember, we baptized people in this tub over here in water. That was great. That was powerful. It was life-changing. It had spiritual implications connected to it. But there's another baptism that happened in Acts chapter 2. You heard me read about it. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. And that baptism is getting ready. Or you'll have the invitation and the opportunity to receive that baptism at the end of this service. Or maybe not even at the end. Maybe while I'm up here preaching, the Holy Spirit will come on you. And if He does, you just open up your mouth and you just let a heavenly language come out of you. And it won't make sense to you, but it'll make sense to God. Can you say amen? Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, the power was poured out. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Now, I preached about the suddenly. JoJo talked a little bit about the suddenly. But what I want to talk about is the sound. Let the church say a sound. Don't rush past this. You've got to understand, Pentecost was a tangible, physical outpouring. God didn't just stir their emotions. He shifted the atmosphere. What was it that happened in that upper room? A sound came from heaven. It was like a rushing, mighty wind. Number one, there was sound. Number two, there was a fire that appeared. Divided tongues are cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them. That tells me that the Spirit of God, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not exclusive, but it's inclusive. It's for everyone and everybody. Anybody who desires is qualified to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit subsequent to a clean heart and one who has been saved by Christ Jesus. And so the divided tongues, the Spirit of God sat upon each of them, and they spoke in new tongues, languages that they have never learned before. I am convinced that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it will accelerate you. You'll be able to do things you did not think were possible, speak languages you did not think were possible. It got quiet because you all didn't believe me. I've witnessed it. I've seen evidence of it. I've heard testimonies of it, stories of it, how people filled with the baptism of the Spirit of God. You just heard me read it in Acts chapter 2. They began to speak in languages they did not learn, but everybody around them could hear it. And it made such a profound impact on them. I'm convinced, I'll take it one step further. I am convinced that with the Holy Spirit, you'll be able, we say, well, you could do things you've never done before. I'm a witness to that because I've done things this past week that I am 100% unqualified to do. I don't possess the skill sets to be able to do it. I don't possess the knowledge to be able to do it. But I was under the hood of a car looking at electrical stuff. I am not an electrical engineer. I don't know anything about that. But I just in a moment, it became clear as day. This is what you need to do to get this thing to work right and to be fixed. And we did what it was that needed to be done, and the car did what it was supposed to be doing. Now, I could say, well, I'm a genius. I'm smart. Look how smart I am. Nope. You know what I did? I backed up and I said, thanks be unto God. He was able to show me something that I... You thought he was just speaking in tongues, but it goes much further than that. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. The same Spirit that searches the mind of God and the heart of God is the same Spirit that's alive and well on the inside of you. Hey! If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have been missing out. If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you've been walking around a little more powerless than what you need to be. There is something unique and something special and something grandiose and something powerful about having an inner witness of the Spirit of God, to have that baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it's not just so You can speak in tongues, although they did. The point is, each of them, or each of these situations, the sound and the fire and the speaking were physical manifestations of a supernatural encounter with God. Pentecost wasn't a whisper. It was a divine interruption. Pentecost began with a sound. Nudge your neighbor and say, it began with a sound. It didn't start with a sermon. It didn't begin with a strategy. It didn't start on a stage with a spotlight. It didn't begin that way. It began with a sound from heaven, a sound that pierced the atmosphere, a sound that announced that God is on the move. It was a sound that could not be ignored. See, when God moves, it makes noise. Do you remember in the book of Genesis when he was when they were hiding from God, that before they ran and hid because they ate of the tree, it said we heard him moving. We heard him walking in the garden. When God gets ready to move, there's a sound that comes. Come on, somebody. There's a sound that precedes the move of God. Can I tell you that in the, and not only that, but watch this. When the sound hit them, they returned back to heaven another sound. Come on, they return back a sound. That's why in this place, when we come together and worship, we refuse to let you sit there with your mouth closed and your arms crossed, frowning, saying, I dare you, God, to move. No, if you want God to move, you've got to respond with a sound. He'll move with the sound. You respond with the sound. That's why we say, lift up a sound. Because God moves when the sound is heard, he'll move. In fact, we ought to just practice that right now. I'll give you about 15 seconds to make a sound in this place. Lift. Has God been moving? Has God been moving? Has God been moving in this place? He already came with the sound. You ought to respond with the sound. Come on, you got a sound you haven't made yet. You got a sound you haven't said yet. You got a shout you haven't done yet. Come on and lift up a sound. When heaven invades earth, there's a sound. Just look at Mount Sinai. There was thunder. There was fire. There was trumpets. Just look at Elijah's cave. There was a still small voice. Look at the baptism of Jesus when God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. When God moves, there's a sound, and the reciprocation from his people ought to be a sound going back up. Hey, hey, I'll give all the saved one 10 more seconds. I'll give every saved person in here. You got 10 more seconds to lift up a sound. Y'all better settle down. It's starting to sound like a Pentecostal church in here. We got visitors and guests. You're going to frighten them off. No, you won't. Why? Because here's what happened. When the sound occurred, when the Spirit of God moved, when the rushing mighty wind came and the sound came and they lifted up their voices and began to speak in tongues, look what happened. A multitude came together. When the rushing mighty wind hit earth, it caused people to begin to gather together. The sound of Pentecost is a drawing power. It cut through the noise. It cut through the distraction. It cut through routine. It caused people from different nations, different languages, different ethnicities, different backgrounds to gather around what they didn't yet understand. They gathered because, listen,
We work so hard. I've watched churches work so hard. I'm guilty of it myself. Not recently, where we try to put together really slick marketing campaigns and really slick strategies to do whatever we can to get people to come to our churches. I saw a preacher yesterday. I don't know if it was satire or what. Maybe it was. He seemed kind of serious. It was a video of him greeting people in the at the lobby saying, when you come to such and such church, we will be friendly, we'll welcome you, we'll greet you. And he was all cheesing it up and smiling. And then he come with me and he was showing them all the things that the building had. He was bragging about the great children's wing and children's ministry, and he was talking great about that. And then he took them on a tour of the tech room and showed all the gadgets and gizmos and all the things that does the screens and the lighting and all of that. And even took them in, showed them the pews and the chairs and sat in one. Said, oh, we've got the most comfortable chairs in town. You should come, enjoy the seating. The air is just right. The temperature's just right. The lighting's just right. Doing all of these things to try to draw and track people and to get them to come into the church. And we have done it. Guilty right here. We have done, not videos, but we have done it where we've tried to do everything in our power to attract people and get people to come to churches. We'll do harvest festivals and egg drops and egg and all. I'm not against any of that, mind you. I'm not opposed to that if that's what you want to do to get people involved. But here's my issue. Listen, you can put all the fog machines you want in your church, but one thing that is necessary is fire. And what a lot of churches have done is we've replaced the fire with the fog machine. And we've replaced the Spirit of God with slick marketing campaigns and try to get people to come into their church. And if you want to know how to get people into the church, all you've got to do is read the book of Acts chapter number 2 and let a sound of a rushing mighty wind hit your building, hit your people, hit your church. When the wind shows up, people will gather around and go, what is going on over there at Riverside Church? Because we hear the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And so I say to every pastor that might be watching this, I applaud your efforts in trying to get people to attract them into your church. But sir, madam, if you will just take the time to grant permission to your people to be able to come into your sanctuary, and when the musicians start and the singers open their mouth, put the phones away, put the clock away, put the agenda away and say, come Holy Spirit and move only as you can. We will yield. We surrender. We're here for you. Not my will, but your will be done. Sir, madam, if you let the Spirit of God begin to breathe and blow into your congregation, you will see multitudes start to gather around what it is God's doing in your sanctuary. Take a break from the marketing campaigns. Take a break from the strategizing, trying to get people in. Take a break from it and just lift up a sound to heaven. Lift up a worship to heaven. Lift up praise to heaven. Lift up a surrendered heart to heaven and watch God move. Do people seek him anymore? Do people in the church seek him anymore? Do preachers seek him anymore? Is there any seekers in the house that refuse to move another moment, refuse to move another step until they have the permission of God Almighty himself? See, we've tried to do whatever we could to get people to come. The true sound of revival, watch this, it cannot be ignored. It's not volume. It's not vibrance. It's not chaos. It's clarity. It's not noise for the sake of just noise. It's the sound of heaven invading earth. And when the Spirit of God is poured out, the world hears something. Do you know what they hear? They hear authentic worship. Do you know what they hear? They hear bold preaching. Do you know what they hear? They hear chains breaking off of the lives of the people of God. They hear the sounds of lives being changed. They hear the sounds of miracles happening. Watch this. They hear the sound of love being spoken amongst the people and the children of God. Is there still a sound in the church today? Here's the question. What does the world hear when they come near us? I don't know if you want me to, darling. Do they hear a church that's alive? Or do they hear a church that has folded their hands, bowed their heads, and are in slumber? Do they hear the sound of arguing over preferences? God, one of the reasons I avoid a lot of social media is because of that garbage right there. I get so sick and tired of people getting on there trying to act all spiritual, all high and mighty, talking about, I don't listen to that style of worship music because it is not theologically sound. But you'll eat pepperoni pizza. Is that theologically sound? You eat cheeseburgers. Is that the... You'll go watch the Marvel comics and the Iron Man. Is that theological? Get out of my face. Listen, if it's overboard, I get it. I'm all right with that. I'm all right for correction. I'm all right for that. But most of the stuff we're hearing, it's not causing any of that. It's not causing people to run and worship the devil. It's not causing people to abandon the faith. It's not. All it's doing is you trying to show off your how spiritual and how gifted and all this and how smart you are. And all you're doing is bringing division to the body of Christ. All you're doing is you're nothing but a millstone being tied around somebody's neck and having them cast into the sea. You let the Spirit of God deal with it. Shut your mouth and pray about it. Shut up and pray about it. Use the wisdom of Gamaliel. If God is in it, then we're fighting against God. If God's not in it, it'll go away on its own. No, but you want a pulpit, a microphone, and a phone that you can get on to spout your nonsense. Arguing over preferences. Arguing over the silliest things. Here's what I'm going to say. The church must recover the sound of Pentecost. A sound that causes hearts to tremble and for people to gather. We don't always need more volume. What we need is more of the Spirit of God. We don't always need hype. What we need is Holy Ghost harmony. We don't always need noise. We need the sound of heaven. The same Spirit that released the sound of Pentecost, watch this, is still moving. But too many churches have traded the sound of heaven for the silence of compromise. The reason some churches don't draw a crowd is not because the message isn't true. It's because they're missing a sound in their sanctuary. We need to get back to seeking Him. We need to get back to waiting on Him. We need to get back to welcoming the wind of the Spirit of God when He blows. The sound will return. The multitudes will gather and the power of God will fall again. Somebody lift up your voices and give Him praise. I've always refused to pastor a weak and emaciated church. I want my churches to be power-filled. I want the churches to be strong in power and the might of God. There ought to be a demonstration of the power of God happening when the people of God come together. There ought to be evidence that God is on the move in the church. And all you got to do is look around this room here. Wasn't that long ago, we only had about 50 people in here. So evidently, there must be a sound happening here that's causing others to want to come and gather in here and say, I may not fully understand it, but I know there's something life-changing happening in that building over there. I know there's something life-changing happening in that room over there. I know the Spirit of God must be moving at Riverside Church. I'm here to tell you, in case you missed it, God has not turned His face away. He has not drawn back His hand. He still makes His face to shine down on this place, on you and on me. Can you take about 10 seconds and give Him praise in here? If you want to know or ever doubted what the Holy Spirit can do in a person's life, you have to look no further than one of the main characters that we read about here in Acts chapter 2. You have to look no further than the Apostle Peter. All you got to do is look at the life of Peter. Did you know that 50 days before this, 50 days prior to this Acts chapter 2 experience, did you know Peter was warming himself by a fire while Jesus was on trial? Do you know 50 days before this day, that same Peter that you heard me say stood up amongst the 11 and lifted up his voice in boldness? That same Peter, he was standing beside a fire warming himself, and a little servant girl came up to him and said, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And not only did he shrug his head, not only did he shake his head, not only did he denied and started cussing at everybody around that fire. I've pastored people like that before, and this is the same Peter that swore he would die with Jesus. The same one who denied him with cursing. And the Bible says that he went and he wept bitterly. Why? Because he was broken, he was ashamed, and he was silenced by failure. This is that Peter that you heard me read about just a moment ago. If you've ever wondered what the power of the Holy Spirit can do in a person's life, just look at this man's life. Denied Christ, broken, failed, miserable, weeping bitterly. Oh, he was big and tough when he was ready to cut Malchus's ear off. He wasn't trying to cut his ear off. He was trying to split his head in two. Missed and caught him by the ear. Big and bad then. But then when a little girl approached him, he said, "I don't know that Jesus," and started cussing at everybody. And now when you fast forward on the day of Pentecost, something new, something different, something happened in the life of Peter. Now you hear Peter standing up amongst the 11, lifting up his voice with boldness, and he stood in front of thousands of people. Thousands of people without a microphone, without a light, without a camera, without a cell phone, doing his TikTok, none of that stuff, stood up amongst 1,000 people and said, "This Jesus whom you crucified." That's the difference that the Holy Spirit can make. He can take you from being fearful to giving you all the courage in the world. He can take you from being timid to making you bold like you've never seen before. How did he do it? It was the Holy Spirit. He gave him the clarity and the ability to preach a message from Joel chapter 2, talking about this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. God gave him conviction. When you've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you, when you've been baptized in the Spirit of God, you will have great conviction. And if you lack conviction, probably what you need is the Holy Spirit of God. If you're easily swayed, if you're easily moved, and you don't have the conviction to move forward, you lack the Spirit of God. What you need is to respond to this altar call in just a moment and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It will change your life. Gave him not just conviction, but it gave him compassion. He preached restoration. He didn't preach from pride. He didn't preach from arrogance. He preached as a man who denied Jesus 50 days ago, broken and weeping bitterly, ashamed and embarrassed. And now he's able to stand there and say, "This same Jesus whom you crucified." I've come by to talk to every man, every woman, every young person in this room. If you've been broken, if you've been ashamed, if you've been embarrassed, if you've ever felt like you couldn't measure up, if you ever felt weak and emaciated, if you ever felt fearful and timid, today is your day to receive a baptism in the Holy Ghost and fire that will ignite you and change your life forever. 50 days ago, Peter was cussing by a fire, but now he's preaching with fire. Ooh. He went from denial to revival. The only way that happens is when you get the Holy Spirit. Ask your neighbor, "Are you baptized yet?" If they say, "I don't know," then tell them, "Today's your day." The purpose, watch this, the purpose for this baptism, the purpose for this outpouring, the purpose for this Spirit of God coming in Acts chapter 2 was to serve as a witness and power for the world. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me." I'm going to preach and you might not like me after this, but just understand I love you. Okay. The power wasn't poured out so we could put on a show. It wasn't given so that we could impress each other with how spiritual we look on Sunday mornings. Are you sure? Are you sure? The Holy Spirit came to equip the church to reach the world with boldness and love. Watch this, with gifts and with fruit. We weren't given power just to have church. We were given power so that we could be the church. And what I've seen growing up in Pentecost and charismatics and all of that, what I have seen is I have seen a preference of the gifts of the Spirit over the fruit of the Spirit. What I have seen growing up in Pentecostal circles is there has been a preference and there's been weight and there's been, we get wowed and we get impressed when we see the gifts of the Spirit, but we don't talk much about the fruit of the Spirit. There's always an emphasis put on the gifts, but never on the fruit. And so when the Spirit of God is poured out, He just doesn't come with gifts, but He comes with fruit. And what we end up with is we end up gifts without fruit. And let me tell you what, gifts without fruit is a sign of immaturity. Are you sure you want me to preach? I can call Angel up here right now. He can play something soft and smooth. And I'm coming, baby. Today, we have a church culture that prioritizes gifts of the Spirit but neglects the fruit of the Spirit. We want to speak in tongues, but we have a hard time telling people, I'm sorry. We want to prophesy. We emphasize prophesying the Spirit in the church, but we never talk about forgiving people in the church. We talk about the gifts of healing, but we don't talk about self-temperance. We don't talk about self-control. We don't talk about patience. We don't emphasize. We get excited when we do tongues and interpretation, but nobody talks about your frowned up, curled up nose. Well, where's your joy? You do it, but you're so angry all the time. How is it that you're angry all the time? I know why you're angry all the time. You don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because one of the fruits is joy, unspeakable, full of joy. We dance and shout on a Sunday, but we'll gossip and slander on a Monday. We want power on the platform, but we lack purity in the parking lot. Angel, you better get up here, brother. I'm getting in trouble. I can feel a mutiny coming up right now. They'll be like, take him outside the city gates and let's stone him. Brother, you better get up here and save me. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a sounding brass. I am a clanging cymbal. I am too, man. I hope you came up here. See, the Spirit of God doesn't just produce gifts. The Spirit of God produces fruit. The gifts are for ministry, but the fruit is for our witness. The gifts show what the Spirit of God can do through you. The fruit shows what the Spirit of God has done in you. Let me say that again. The gifts of God show what the Spirit of God can do through you, but the fruit shows what the Spirit of God has done in you. And if all we want is fire without fruit, we'll burn out our witness. If all we want is fire without fruit, we'll burn out the witness that we were meant to carry. Touch your neighbor and tell him the world is watching. The world isn't impressed by how loud we pray. If we live without peace. Doesn't matter how loud you pray, you don't have any peace in your life. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is the peace of God. They're not convinced by how high we jump. They're watching how straight we walk. Whew. The world needs a spirit-filled church. Not just power in the pulpit, but love in the lobby, self-control in traffic, and joy in adversity. You still want me to preach? You still know I love you, right? Sis, I just grew up in Pentecost. I grew up in those circles. I know what that's like. And yes, yes, 100%. I love the gifts of the Spirit when they're at operation in the house of God. I love it when they're at operation in each and every one of you. But let's not just put an emphasis on the gifts of the Spirit and neglect the fruit of the Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Can you give Him praise over that? Come on, give Him praise. It just doesn't make any sense to be shouting and dancing and shandamosiing all over the church. But then when people come in that look different and act different than we do, we shun them and neglect them. We look down our religious noses at them. So it's one thing to shout and run all over the church, and I'm all for that. I think we should. I should be more running and more shouting. But there should also be a whole lot of love and a whole lot of grace and a whole lot of mercy and a whole lot of peace and a whole lot of joy and a whole lot of self-control. There should be a whole lot of that happening as well. And you know what I love about our church? I'm not just seeing the gifts of the Spirit at operation at Riverside Church. I'm starting to recognize the fruit of the Spirit at work here in Riverside Church. Because I'm looking around this room and I see a lot of people that if you came here 10 years ago, you would not have made it here. We wouldn't have let you in the door. I'm looking around this room. I can look up on this stage. I don't have to go far. I can look on this stage, and there's folks on this stage that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when I took over, would 100%, you would have been disqualified. And we would have said, Shonda Mosey, the Spirit of the Lord would say unto you, wretched sinner, getteth off of my stageth. We get mad at people because they sin differently than we do. Don't you do it. No. I learned through pain and experience that love covers a multitude of sin. We live in a culture and we live in a society, especially in the church, where we are more in love with the punishments than we are for restoration. We are more in love with punishment than we are for loving and accepting and letting love cover a multitude of sins. And while I love the gifts of the Spirit, don't get me wrong, we can never let the gifts of the Spirit be more prevalent and have more emphasis than the fruits of the Spirit, all right? So let's not settle for being spiritually loud and living spiritually shallow. Let's be the church that's full of fire, full of fruit, and full of love. Reach over and wrap your arm around your neighbor and say, I just want you to know I love you. Just tell them that. Last point and I'm done. I'm last point and I'm done, and you guys can, we'll just move forward. Acts chapter 2. You guys still good? Are you all right? I'll get out of your way, I promise. I'm getting out of your way. This is my last point and I'm done. Point number 5, last point and I'm done. The outpouring has not stopped. I'm glad Noriel's here. Let me go over here. Every church needs a Noriel. You can't have our Noriel. This is our Noriel. Go get your own Noriel. Pray in your own Noriel. Better yet, love in your own Noriel. They'll come. They'll come. The outpouring hasn't stopped. JoJo, maybe you didn't hear. Maybe you didn't get the memo. I'll shoot you a text message. But the outpouring hasn't stopped. Robin, the outpouring hasn't stopped. Cece, did you hear? The outpouring hasn't stopped. I'm going to make the tech team mad. I'm walking into the darkness here. I'm coming down here. Alethea, I don't know if you heard, baby. The outpouring hasn't stopped. Heather, maybe you guys didn't hear this, but the outpouring hasn't stopped. Garland, the outpouring hasn't stopped. Paul, the outpouring hasn't stopped. I'm here to tell you. All y'all in this section right here need to hear this. The outpouring hasn't stopped. And I don't know who convinced you that it did. I don't know who tried to tell you that it did. But I'm here to tell you that the outpouring of God in Acts chapter 2, I haven't. Mike, find me the Bible verse where it said that the outpouring stopped. Find me that, Stephanie, the outpouring. Have you heard? He's still pouring out. He's still pouring out. He's still pouring out. The sound is still alive. The Spirit of God is still pouring out. Was spoken by the prophet Joel. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. If your flesh, you're qualified. Okay, here's what I'm doing. You're in the room with me today. I know we have people watching by the live stream, but you're in the room today. Everybody that's standing here is waiting for you to come down here. Here's what I want to say to you. If you have never, Mike, come here real quick. Elder Mike, come here real quick. Acts chapter, what was that verse of scripture? Come up here. What was that verse of scripture that you quoted to me in the office about, I think it was Acts 2:38.
In Acts 2:38, at the end of that sermon that Peter preached in Acts chapter 2 that he started on, he didn't even give an altar call. He was done. The people said to him, what do we need to do? What's our next step? And he said, repent. Be baptized. We did that. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those were the three things that he wanted. A brand new part of these 3,000 that came to the Lord that day. Amen. 3,000. He wanted them to repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came, Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says, they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit is going to give you utterance. When they pray for you, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to descend on you. But he's not going to take over your mouth. He's not going to speak like you're a robot and he takes over and starts talking mechanically through you. Acts 2:4 said, they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The people spoke, the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. So they're praying for you. The Holy Spirit's going to come on you and he's going to give you utterance. Words, syllables. It's going to sound weird because your natural mind is unfruitful. It's a spiritual thing. But you speak. He gives you utterance. You speak. He gives you utterance and you yield. It's an act of faith because it's not intuitive. But he gives you the utterance. You speak. You do the speaking. You do the talking. You yield. You release. You let him start speaking in tongues through you. But you're the one doing the speaking. He's the one that gives the utterance. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 8, in Acts chapter 9, in Acts chapter 10, in Acts chapter 19, the apostles laid hands on them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke with other tongues. And Pastor Jason is correct. There's no point in the scripture where that program was turned off or canceled or discontinued. Ephesians 5 says, be filled with the Spirit. And that Greek word means refills. God gives free refills. Amen? So maybe you were filled with the Spirit a ways back and you talk with tongues, but you haven't really done much with it. Well, step back into the water again today and walk in the Spirit. Get a refill of the Spirit of God and speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you utterance. Tongues is not the goal. Tongues is the gateway. Tongues is the initial evidence. It's not the final evidence. The final evidence is the power in your life. The final evidence is the fruit in your life. But the tongues is the gateway. It's the door that you step through initially. It's the sign that you've received. They spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. Believe and receive the promise of the Father today in Jesus' name.
I love it. Come on. If you need to be baptized, you need to be refilled. These altars are open. You need to come now. Respond now. Get down here now. Leave with that boldness. Leave with that fire. Leave with that power.
Your body, I know that your hands is white.